Welcome to Crossroads. It's great to have you today in our Easter special 2019. Are we excited today? Yes. You know, Easter is a really, really big deal because the most incredible thing that ever happened in all creation took place 2,000 years ago. Somebody came back from the dead. I know it sounds crazy, I know it sounds wild, but I'm telling you, if we get this, there's a key piece that will utterly change our lives. That's what we want to see today. And to help us get started, we're gonna go to some true experts who know what Easter is all about.
Well, Jesus was riding on a donkey, and everybody was happy. They're waving palm branches.
Yay! Jesus is here! Mm-hmm.
Then people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna.
He had Last Supper with his disciples.
Bread, fish, and wine.
And they got cupcakes.
And then he said, this cup represents my blood. And then he got a piece of bread and he said, this bread represents my body to break.
And his friend was like, what?
When Jesus was praying in his
favorite garden,
his disciples going to pray with him, but they fell asleep. Then some soldiers came to arrest him.
They arrested him.
They took him to jail.
And he holded his hands out. And they wrapped rubber bands around his hands.
Soldier tied him up. He was taking him away so he could die.
They put spiky things on his head.
And they got a cross for him, and it was on the hill, and then they put him on it, and then he prays to God. He says, Father God, I hope nobody can do this ever again to me.
But in the middle of his praying, he died.
Jesus died for our sins because he loves us. And everyone else think he wasn't the Son of God.
Then they were like, this man was really the Son of God.
And then the whole shake, and then the curtain just ripped off. And after that,
they put him in a cave.
And then he wrapped him up with a piece of paper.
And they covered him up with the stone.
They rolled it so Jesus won't get out. He was in there for 5 minutes.
He was in the tomb for 3 days.
Then the angel came and rolled it away.
And when two women came to visit Jesus' body, on the third day it was empty.
Jesus got out and the lady saw, he's not in there. You lied.
And when Jesus came in, he said, hey all.
And then, happily ever after, Jesus was alive again, and the people were happy.
And where Jesus is in heaven now.
He's still with us. Jesus lives in the sky.
In the sky?
Jesus lives in our hearts. And when we have bad days, you just have to pray for Jesus so he can help you.
Hey, happy Easter. I'm Lena Schuler, and I'm the Crossroads Anywhere Community Pastor. And I'm excited to welcome you to church from anywhere you might be joining us from today. How fun is it to get to hear from kids on Easter Sunday? We actually have all kinds of great experiences and content for kids that our Crossroads Kids Club team has made. And so if you want to head to crossroadskidsclub.net or check out Crossroads Kids Club on YouTube, you'll find all kinds of things there for your kids. And today, as we celebrate Easter, we're going to hear some real stories from real people who have experienced some real life hardship. And some of these hardships might be things that you might not want your kiddos to hear. And so if that's the case, this might be a great time for you to hand them a device and pull up the Crossroads Kids Club YouTube channel to let them experience Easter in a way that was meant for them. Well, if you are joining us from a watch party today, an extra special welcome to you. Your host got a kit in the mail this week, and you should have Sharpies and Pop Rocks ready for later on in the service. And if you're not in the midst of a watch party right now, make sure you go grab a pen or a Sharpie. You'll want that later on for the service. And a watch party is just a way that people gather together to experience church together. Because church isn't just a video, it's not just a building, but church is the people who gather to experience God together. And that's what we're going to do here today, is experience God together. Because what Easter is all about is the fact that Jesus didn't just die, but he died and rose from the grave, making the impossible things possible, making your impossible thing possible. And so we're going to experience that today in a creative telling of the Easter story through song and video and teaching. And we do that because we believe that God has a purpose for you and he has meaning for your life. And we want to do anything we can to help you connect with God today. And so we're going to pull out all the creative stops to make that happen. And we're doing this because Jesus didn't just die, but he rose from the grave so that your impossible thing could be made possible.
The world turns to darkness, eclipsed by my sorrow. Panic takes its grip and I can't see tomorrow. And all sense of safety has betrayed me. I'm fading. Hollow thoughts arrest me. Resolve has left me for dead. Yet there is a strength in me that makes itself known, speaking tenacity to my shaking bones, and a spirit in me that yet remains. So I rise. Yet I face fears impossible to fathom. My stomach churns, yearnings clamor for escape from this. Anxiety sweats like blood through my skin. Friends brand me nemesis. Where is the end to this? I'm lost in confusion. The bruises of love are the hardest to understand. I'm a broken man calling for release. Yet beneath my cries is a spirit that digs deep, grits its teeth, finds a way through the calamity to take my hand and lift me to rise. Yet I am cut by this life, flayed by the wounds of living, unforgiving like whip cracks tearing at my soul. Where are the days when my confidence took hold, when I was surrounded by high esteem? Now my status burns to ash in the breeze, and I lose my sense of self, and opinions turn against me in scorn, and everything I've worked for is torn. I'm wandering through wastelands full of torment and aching, crying, why am I forsaken? When will this end? Yet inside me is a roar, raging as the lion, and my inner core burns defiant. I will not be defined by the violence and lies. I will wrap myself in fire and rise. Yet loneliness blinds my eyes and smites me, and my feelings are thrown like dice to the flame, and those I love indict me with blame, and I am led to places I don't want to go. My dignity is turned to affliction, my name rewritten as fiction. I am wrapped in the grave clothes of discontentment, and life's disappointments cling like shrouds. This world breaks me with its pressures, its impossible standards, its never-ending demands full of false crowns and malice. And this life hangs me up till I'm derelict, done with its taunting, its jeering, its never enough. Yet there is one who still comes with beating wings, inflamed in heaven's furious light that tears the veil between love and I, lifts me from defeat. In the midst of my cries, stands me back on my feet to rise. See, there is a voice still in me. You won't break me down. I'll sing louder than derision. My song won't be drowned. I'll take the silence of my prison, fill it with the sound of living. It is here in my burnout, here in my weakness, here in the end of me that I find victory. There is power in my hands that you can't take from me. It is love, it is life, it is hope, it is peace. See, you can break my body, you can shatter my vision. From this hell where I've been driven, I will love you into the passions of heaven. I won't give in to hate, I'm stronger than that. When you shame me, I will dress you in forgiveness. I will travel the distance you've cast between us and love you till you listen to the conviction that rises forever in me. It is the sound of the free. It is deeper than the grave. It is greater than defeat, flows fuller than the weeping. When all else is beaten, I rise. I rise to new life. Come with me.
Oh, shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name.
I was 27, single, in grad school, working full time, and suddenly pregnant. I was in my apartment, sitting in the middle of my bed and crying. I felt anxious, scared, alone, and like I was a disappointment. I was full of shame and guilt.
I was living on my own, wandering far from God. After losing all three of my grandparents back to back to back, I had never dealt with death like that before, and I spiraled. The more funerals I attended, the deeper I sank into depression. I was lonely and hurting, but instead of letting people in, I pushed them away. I chose to bury the pain and isolate, and before I knew it, I slipped into old patterns with friends like partying and smoking weed.
I started watching porn to fill the boredom and numb rejection. At some point, I recognized that this fake pleasure always left me emptier and guiltier after I watched it. I knew porn would never truly satisfy, but I just could not stop. One day, after watching porn, the guilt and emptiness became overwhelming. I got on my knees and yelled at God, why couldn't I resist this urge?
Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave. With the smooth and velvet tongue, fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna take my giants down. There ain't no
when I hear that trumpet sound.
God made his presence known in a way I had never experienced before then. Out of nowhere, I heard, "I trust you with this child. I have chosen you for this responsibility, and I will take care of you." I would love to say I completely changed my life from that point on, but I continued struggling with lust and having sex outside of marriage. I knew this is not what God wanted for me. The twinges of guilt I felt turned into full-blown convictions. God was telling me loud and clear, "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." I recommitted myself to him and was baptized. His love has allowed me to be free from shame and guilt and walk into the freedom of being who he has created me to be.
One night, something broke through the depression. I felt like I heard God say, "Seek me, get back into church, find healthy community." I had heard of Crossroads, so I decided to check it out. And in the back of the Mason Middle School, as I watched the lyrics of those songs jump off the screen and into my soul, I literally felt God's grace. It felt like the weight of my chains had finally fallen off. I started doing things out of my comfort zone, went to man camp, joined community groups. I didn't think being loved by God was ever possible again, but Jesus pursued me, redeemed me, and called me back home.
I finally told God, "I cannot do this on my own." I woke up the next day, the sense of self-control, it was beyond me. I realized God did not want a better version of me, he wanted all of me. I wish I could say I never watched porn again, or that the thought of it never crossed my mind, but God is a God of grace, and he doesn't love me any less. This time, I'm running towards him, not away from him, and I am not alone. He's bought me other people to lean on, my dudes group, my prayer team, and my wife. I have a new life now that is richer and way more fulfilling than porn. With Jesus, there is no shame, only freedom.
For there was a battle, a war between death and life. There on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. He went on down to hell. He took back every key. He rose up as a lion, and he set all captives free. Oh, there was a battle, a war between death and life. There on the tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. He went on down to hell. He took back.
For so many of us, we were one way, and then we met Jesus, and everything changed. Hope and life entered the room, and we've never been the same. So we come here to celebrate. One of the ways we express that is through song. So wherever you're joining us from, if you're online, at home, man, go full screen with it, turn it up. Right here in the room, let's stand together, let's sing of our joy, all right? Carry that kind of weight. shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
Have a seat. Man, how good is it to celebrate something that is truly and amazingly life-changing? That's what we're doing today. Let's pray before we go any further. God, thank you for the crazy miracle of our lives, the crazy miracle of Easter. I know some of us today, God, we came in here totally, fully believing it. Others of us in here came in here just because, well, I guess I should be spiritual one time a year. And my annoying friend asked me, and I just decided to say yes to him. So wherever we are in our current spiritual orientation, God, help us to understand you. Help us to know you. Help us to sense you and feel you today. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. My name is Brian. It's great to be with everybody today. It's kind of fitting and also really sad that the dominant news story this week, this Easter week, this Holy Week, has been the burning of Notre Dame. I've been there. I've seen that building before a number of years ago. And boy, just heartbreaking that something that is that amazing and majestic would burn. Before that thing was built, people thought it would be impossible to ever have that kind of span covered with stone. The building in and of itself, the very beginning, was impossible. And now it lies in ruins. That building was built at a time when people who followed Jesus were trying to put their best foot forward in art, trying to be amazing artisans to express God's love. And we're trying to do that today, this Easter season, because God deserves great art. We're trying to move us. And if we want to be moved by a concert that just talks about your dating relationships, that's fine. But we believe inside of a church, we should be moved by something that matters, that there is a God who cares for you, has created you. When you came in today, you got one of these Sharpies. Or if you're at home, go ahead, pull that thing out. You know, one of the things I don't like is I don't like when people tell me what to do. I don't like that. I don't know about you. I don't like when people tell me what to do. And it seems like whenever I went to church when I was a little kid, they're always telling me what to do. You know, like, don't smoke, don't chew, don't date the girls who do. They're always telling me things not to do, telling me things like this is a toxic substance. Don't get it on your skin. I'm going to encourage you to get this on your skin today. We're going to talk about the impossible today. Notre Dame, when it was built, many people thought that was impossible. There's things that you are dealing with that you think is probably impossible that could ever change. And actually, you yourself, believe it or not, you yourself are impossible. We're going to do a number of things with this today. But first thing, what I want you to do, you don't have to if you don't want to, but you'll get something out of this today, is just take on the very top of your hand, like that top part of the back of your hand, and just write on there, impossible. Impossible. I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-E-L. L-E. There it is. Okay. Impossible. You know. Okay. Now, you just wrote on yourself, and you know what? You are impossible. You are impossible. It's crazy the way that an amazing architect put you together. In the last hour, your heart has beat 3,600 to 6,000 times, and you didn't do anything to make that happen. In the last 24-hour span of time, you haven't even considered that there are 20,000 breaths that you have taken. And what is controlling this? It is our brain that contributes to our body functioning. In our brain, there's 100 billion cells inside of our brain. In fact, our eye is the most amazing photographic equipment ever created and will ever be created. And this eye sends a signal that's inverted up to our brain, and our brain flips it so we can see it and understand it. It is amazing. In our body, the cell count in our body is 37.2 trillion cells. We get energy by eating things, and when it goes into our body, it goes through 30 feet of passageway, converting it into energy, and we never think about this at all. Friends, you are impossible. No one could ever create you. It's not possible. You cannot be recreated in a lab. No one could ever think about you as a possibility. You are an amazing, amazing, not just entity, you are an amazing person that God loves and God cares for very, very much. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, Jesus died for all. He died for all. Therefore, we should live for him because he has died for us and he has risen from the dead. Now, we're going to talk today and hear from some of our, some friends of mine, their take on Easter and this crazy idea that God literally, physically, and historically rose from the dead. He became part of the dead because he went to a cross so that you and I would never have to be punished eternally for our sins. He did that for us. It's amazing. And if that wasn't enough, he conquers death by coming back from the dead. Now, friends, this is amazing. I'm telling you, this is utterly amazing. I want you to feel this today. I mean, seriously, if there is a God, if there's a God, we should expect that when he comes to the planet, if he ever came to the planet, weird stuff should happen. Really weird. Like a body that's dead being reanimated back to life. In fact, if there's a God that can't do that, then that God isn't worth my time. I should just go on drinking, chewing, smoking, and doing the girls who do, whatever that phrase was earlier on. If there isn't a God who can intercede, then I don't know why I would be interested in spirituality. There is a God who intercedes. There is a God who's created you. You are impossible. He cares for you. And he wants you to be in relationship with him. And we want you to feel that. We want you to feel it. You got some pop rocks when you came in your day. That's what it is. That's what it is. Go ahead and take that little sucker and open that up. Art is created so that we don't do anything with it yet because we've laced it with cyanide. Art is created to move us. When you go to Notre Dame, it moves you, which is why people have already pledged $1 billion to rebuild it. Amazing, $1 billion to rebuild it because people got moved when they went there. We want you to be moved today. We want you to feel, and the first thing we want you to feel is this stuff in your mouth. Just go ahead and dump this in your mouth if you could. Let's get that 30 feet of digestive system operating. Check this out. Let's all open our mouths at the same time. That's good stuff right there. That's good. I hope you're not on the keto diet because it just got blown for you. I want us to feel. I want you to feel. And here's the thing. Some of us today are not just going to feel. You're going to leave here today being different than when you came in here. You might have thought you were coming here out of churchy obligation. out of Easter tradition obligation. But no, something unique and profound might just happen in you. And to help us on this journey, we're going to hear some of our some friends of mine, some of our best teachers here around Crossroads. And in between of hearing them, little snippets, we're going to try to give you an immersive experience and give you some music to sit in, some music to just receive and contemplate on. And let's see if in the span of our time together that the impossible doesn't actually happen in your life.
Happy Easter. And just for a couple of minutes today, I want to talk to anyone out there who is like I have been, overwhelmed with all the ideas in our culture today about who God is and what He's like. There are no shortage of religious and philosophical ideas about what He's doing and whether He even exists. We love to do Easter egg hunts, and the grand prize egg in our Easter egg hunt is actually an empty one. Now, don't feel too bad for the kid that finds it, because we always exchange it for a prize. But we do this on purpose because it brings us back to the heart of Easter. The heart of Easter is an empty tomb. And that empty tomb is not just what Easter is about, it's what all of Christianity is based on entirely. And not just Christianity, but these two little words, the gospel. Now, the gospel, those words are words I've heard off and on in all different ways my entire life. And it bothered me a few years ago that I really couldn't tell you very simply and very quickly what is the gospel. I knew all the ideas and all the concepts that were involved, but I just wanted one sentence. And it turns out there's 10 words. And those words are Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. We don't need religious words to describe what Easter is about. There was a guy who claimed to be God, and he was murdered and buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, that tomb was found empty, and a body was never recovered. Hundreds of people said that they saw him alive after that. The resurrection, the empty tomb, it either happened or it didn't. And the writer of 1 Corinthians says this. He says, if Christ was not raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. The empty tomb is the one thing we need to decide. Did it happen or didn't it? And if it did, let's let it be what it is. Let's let it clear away all the other ideas and change our life. It's the one thing I actually have faith in. We can tell it to each other like a fairy tale, but that's not what it is. This story promises to be an eyewitness account of an actual historical event that thousands of people for every generation have lost their lives defending as the truth. Our story is better than a fairy tale. Jesus died for our sins and He rose from the dead. If He did that, if He beat death and He's alive today, then that is good news. That is the gospel. That's the good news, because we can be too. So if today you just want the one thing, well, the one thing is the empty tomb. Did it happen? Did the resurrection of Jesus happen or didn't it? That's all we need to decide today. I believe that's true, and it's worth celebrating.
All that you've done, I sing my redemption song. Son of David, King of all the ages, for all that you've done, I sing my redemption song. Son of David,
Easter story is crazy. 2,000 years ago, a guy in the Middle East claims to be God, gets himself killed, claims to rise from the dead, and we're just supposed to believe it and go about our merry days and pretend like it's awesome. That's nuts! The story is nuts! It's as crazy as believing there's an Easter bunny who craps chocolate eggs wrapped in golden foil. It's nuts, it's insane. Also, I believe one of those two stories is true. I do, my name is Kyle, I'm a pastor, I'm also a natural born skeptic, and if you're a skeptic, you are in good company. I have this crazy notion that when someone claims to be God, a good idea is to ask for proof before you just believe it. You should like ask for proof. Like, if you're God, you should be able to do impossible things. The impossible should be possible for you. You should have power over the laws that govern the universe and all that stuff. You should have it. Now in the Bible, Jesus shows some of this stuff. There's scenes where he shows power over the laws that govern the universe. Like he shows power over gravity when he walks on water. He shows power over chaos and complexity theory when he changes weather patterns. I go on and on and on. It's really cool stuff. It's interesting. It has nothing to do with why I believe, though. See, at one point, I thought that's the impossible stuff that I needed to see him do. That's the impossible stuff I needed to see was possible, but it's not. Turned out, the more meaningful thing I was interested in is, Jesus, if you're God, you should be able to do the impossible in me. The impossible should become possible in me. When I actually started to read the Bible and look at it, I saw all these invitations to test and to ask that very question. There is a verse that says, taste and see that God is good, like good to you, like taste, test and see that he's good to you. There's another place where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Knock and see. Now I'm assuming if you're here, you're an open-minded person. And I want to invite you to take a page out of science. Approach this question of Jesus, could he be God? Open-mindedly, and then test it. Run some experiments in your life. Ask him to make the impossible possible in you. When I did this, it changed my life. It did. See, I was impossibly skeptical, and yet now I genuinely believe. I was impossibly selfish. I was stuck on this like hamster wheel of running after happiness through the unending upgrade cycle. And now I get more joy in my life than I ever did before out of giving away my time and my money. It's impossible, but he made it possible in me. I was impossibly fearful about my future. I was just scared about what was gonna happen, and I was positive that nothing good was gonna come. And now I couldn't be more excited about what happens tomorrow. I have no idea what it will be, but I'm excited and I'm hopeful. I have a peace about it. And you can too. Take Jesus up on the test. If you're skeptical, don't be closed-minded, be open-minded. Ask him to prove it to you, and he will. That's what I did. And now when millennia of skeptics stand up and say he is God, so will I. And when the stars and the galaxies testify to his incredible, unending power, so will I. And today, when millions of people around the globe sing praises to his name, say, you are God, you are who you say you are, so will I.
If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I.
Oh,
Part of the good news of Easter for me, and I'm reminded of it every year at this time, is that the power that raised Jesus from the dead doesn't just mean that you get to go to heaven one day, which is amazing, but it also means there's power available for your life and my life right here and right now. And that's really good news, especially if you're feeling frustrated. I don't know about you, but life is frustrating. There's always things in life that are challenging. And maybe you're even right here listening to this today, saying to yourself, this is wonderful. Man, this hour or so that I get to kind of escape my real life and think about the hope and the possibility, that's wonderful. But you know what? On Monday, my life is still gonna be hard. And if you're in that place, then you know what it looks like and feels like to be frustrated. You know, we're frustrated in places in life where we don't feel like we have the power to overcome or to change the situation. I feel that right now. One of the places I'm dealing with frustration is in my marriage. And yes, I asked my wife's permission before I said this, but the truth is, both she and I would say we're in a growth phase in our marriage. That's code for we're not getting along right now, and it's hard. And it's around communication, and we both want to communicate. We want to be able to listen to each other, but we're finding we can't do it in our own power. You know, work is another place where I can feel that same challenge, where I'm hitting the limits of my own leadership, my own capacity, and I'm at a place right now where I'm just frustrated about some choices I need to make because I don't know what to do. Man, I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you feel frustrated about your career. Maybe you're frustrated that you can't get out of debt. Maybe you're frustrated that on the way here, the person in front of you, when the light turned green, didn't go right away. That's my pet peeve, not yours. But whatever it is, I want you to know this. Romans 8 puts it this way, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you when you put your faith in Jesus. And what that means is this, I know that when I'm frustrated, I can tend to have one of two responses. I either grip tighter to try to hold on and get more power, or sometimes I just throw up my hands and I'm ready to walk away. I'm ready to bail. It'll never be better. But what Jesus offers us through the power of his resurrection is a third option, the option to surrender. The option to recognize that the power that's available to you isn't power that makes you strong in your own right, but it's the power that comes from a good king, a resurrected king. And in those places in our lives where we feel frustration, Jesus invites us to surrender to him and to see his power at work in the place where we feel powerless. So what does that look like for me? It looks like continuing to humbly listen and learn how to better communicate with my wife, even when I fail over and over again. It looks like praying and planning at work and learning how to listen for God's voice for the decisions that I need to make and for the people that I'm called to lead. Whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with, wherever you feel frustration, I want to invite you to surrender, to remember in that surrender that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you, which doesn't mean your frustration goes away, but it does mean that you're not without power in the places where you feel challenged.
You know, God has generously given us his son. We're going to have an opportunity to be generous right now. We're going to have bags passed down all of our sites. Or if you're at home, wherever you are, you can go to crossroads.net/give. If you're newer today and you're like, hey, man, this is interesting. Great. We're happy you're our guest. Just received from us. It's great to have you today. You know, I've had a lot of impossible things happen to me. I have. Anybody who knew me in high school would have said it's impossible that guy would get a college degree. That was impossible, let alone a master's degree. I had chronic back pain that I thought I would have forever and ever and would keep me from being active. That's gone. I don't have chronic back pain, and I'm incredibly active, and I thought that was impossible. My wife had a brain clot in her brain a couple years ago, shut off half her brain blood flow, and she couldn't speak, she couldn't talk, she couldn't walk. And man, crazy, crazy stuff. A week later, she was playing tennis. Unheard of. That was supposed to be impossible. I have responsibility right now, and I'm just doing things that are just impossible. Lib and I have been through some major, major marriage stuff, and it's impossible that we're still going strong and better than ever in the midst of it. Whenever there's something impossible, it tells you something is behind what was impossible. Imagine if you came down in the morning wherever you live and there was a box of Alphabet cereal out there. Anyone had Alphabet cereal anytime recently, like in the last 30 years or so? Still make it. And imagine if you came down and you saw on the counter the words, "I love you." What would you assume? You would assume that somebody had spelled that out for you. You would not assume that someone tipped over the box and accidentally five letters came down in the exact same order to spell "I love you." You wouldn't assume that. Folks, you are not a random accident. You are not. Your brain is not a random accident. Those 100 billion cells are there because God put you together. There's 37.2 trillion cells are there because God put you together. Your neurochemistry is there because God causes that to happen. You are impossible that God has put you there and here, and he's blessed us with life in the midst of it. We also have some impossible things we're wrestling with. We're wrestling with perhaps addictions, and we think it's impossible that we're going to get over an addiction. We're wrestling with memories of abuse, and we think it's impossible that we could possibly have a clear mind. We're wrestling with financial bankruptcy, credit card debt, and it's impossible for us to think that we could be financially free. We're wrestling with a divorce, and we think it's impossible that we could ever feel loved again. We're wrestling with an awful medical diagnosis, and we think it's impossible that we could actually be healthy again. We're wrestling with memories of something that took place in our childhood that are just too despicable to recount, and we think it's impossible that we could actually feel free. We're wrestling with how the previous relationship or the previous employer hurt us, and we have this bitterness, this utter bitterness, and we think it's impossible that we could ever have joy again. And I could go on and on and on. I want us to be able to identify what it is that we think is impossible for us to feel, to have, to believe. Some of us, you came in here today and you decided it's impossible to actually believe that there is a Jesus and he actually cares and that he is God. You came in here today maybe thinking that was completely impossible, and just maybe you would like to see, maybe I could have faith, but no, faith is maybe impossible. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This doesn't mean only saved from an eternity away from God. This also means right here in this world, saved from things that are afflicting you. Right here in this world, saved from things that you think you'll never get over because it's impossible for me to get over. No, it's not. It's not impossible. With God, all things are possible. And I want us to identify, what is it that we think is impossible? Take out your Sharpie again. And what we're going to do with this is we're going to do another song right now, and we're going to see a depiction of what it looks like when God comes and does the impossible in somebody's life. When God, when the very Spirit of God comes and moves and touches people who are downtrodden and think that they are long gone, that think that things are impossible. And during this piece, if you understand, okay, what is it I believe is impossible? Do I believe it's impossible to have hope? Do I believe it's impossible to feel healthy? Whatever it is, I want you to take that Sharpie and put underneath that impossible word, what is it that you think is impossible? God, continue to move in here right now and help us to know what you're capable of. Amen.
The serpent's head I stare when I breathe my final breath. The cords of death were cut in two. When it is finished, I spoke for you. I am, I am the one that comes to you. You are the one that I'll make new. You're picking up the pieces, let me. If you're fighting all your battles, let me. If you're backed against the wall and you're barely holding on, if you need someone to save you, let me. I see the wreckage of your life. You think you're too broken, not in my eyes. And if hope is the war of your battle cry, what death claims your purpose, I claim new life. I am the one that comes to you. You are the one I'll make new. If you're picking up the pieces, let me. If you're fighting all your battles, let me. If you're backed against the wall and you're barely holding on, if you need someone to save you, let me. Yeah. If the mirror is your enemy, you're made in my image in victory. If your burdens weigh with no relief, there's room on my shoulders, my hands and feet. 'Cause resurrection starts with me. Your resurrection. Back against the wall, and you're back.
That verse was quoted earlier is true. The same spirit that brought him back from the dead can give life to your and my mortal bodies. That same dream that's been crushed in us, that thing that we feel like we're never going to get over, that thing that we feel that is dead, God can bring that to life. You bring it to life. We have right now something you think is impossible that's right underneath. It's impossible if we do it on our own. It's impossible if we keep theorizing our way to it. It's impossible if we keep waiting for the stars to align and just magically eliminate our thing. It's impossible if we think the government's going to solve that thing, whatever administration's in control. That's impossible. It's not possible. It's not impossible. It's when God gets a hold of our life. He gets a hold of it when he touches us. If you came in here today and you felt something, you know why you feel something? You felt something because your creator who wove you together as a beautiful work of art, your creator brought you here today because he wanted you to get to him. He wanted you to get that faith that you thought was impossible. He wanted you to get that understanding that you had forgotten about because he has not forgotten about you. Let's look in our hands and let's just cross out the I'm. If you think I'm not worthy, if you think I'm stupid, if you think I'm unhealthy, if you think I'm never going out, whatever you're on, just cross out that I'm. Cross it out. It's possible. What is right there on your hand, it is possible because in Christ, all things are possible. Some of us in here, it's not an accident you were in here. There was an appointment that God made with you for you to get you in here today. There's an appointment that God did to have you streaming today because he's been setting you up for this. He's been setting you up to come into a relationship with him. And the way that he makes that happen is the way that Jesus has made, a way where you and I don't have to beat ourselves up for all of our problems, for all of our pains, for all of our shortcomings, because Jesus already got beat up for that. We don't have to keep regretting all the things that we didn't do or should have done because Jesus did those things on our behalf. We don't have to keep wondering whether or not I have what it takes because Jesus had what it takes. And that same spirit that lived in him and brought him from the dead, that same spirit is available to you and I. And that's why you're here. I ask you to go ahead and bow your head with me and let's just pray. And maybe for some of us as we pray, there's a clarity that we had when we came in today. There's a clarity. And for the first time, you want to say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You want to receive him. So our heads are down. I just encourage you. Just raise your hand right now. I want to see your hand. Make a bold move. Just put your hand up if that is you. Come on now. Come on. Yes. Yes. Yeah, here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you, as I pray, just say this with your words. It doesn't have to be at 100 decibels, but that verse says, if I confess with my mouth. So I want you to say a prayer like this with me. It goes like this. God, thanks for bringing me here today. I ask you, forgive me for my sin. I want what's not possible. I want you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. As best as I can, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Amen. Hey, why don't we stand right now? Let's stand right now. I'll tell you what, there's some things on those hands that are going to happen. They're not just possible, they're going to happen. And let's believe that a little bit. Let's believe that there's a God that lives outside of time and lives outside of our own little world that we see, who has power that's beyond anything that you and I can imagine. And let's just respond to him with some gratitude, with some singing coming down from those 37.2 trillion cells he's put into our body, that's in our lungs and it's in our vocal cords. And let's just spend time closing out, singing to him and telling him that we're thankful for him.
Savior.
It washes white as slavery for sonship. I'm taking shackles for the keys. Yeah. Oh, my inheritance, the kingdom, where my Father.
That the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is in you and in me, and we can experience and feel and live in that power every single day. If you just met Jesus for the first time through this experience, you just received Jesus for the first time, we would love to get to know you and help you figure out what your next step is. So if you head to the Crossroads website and click on the chat button, we can chat with you there. And if you're just looking to get more involved in the church, you want to experience Crossroads in some new ways, You can also chat with us on the website, and we'd love to help you figure out what your next step is. Next week, we start a brand new series called People Skills. And in the midst of that series, we're going to be checking out what it means to make friends and keep friends, the good ones. So we'd love to have you back for that. We'll see you next week for People Skills.